Lake Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Bonnie North. Summer is the time when many of us get out of town to see the world. But taking time off work or flying to a far-off destination isn't always an option. So day trips to nearby destinations offer a quick getaway. This month's Milwaukee Magazine features 10 suggestions for day trips around the Milwaukee area. The feature was edited by Chris Drosner, who joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about what these destinations have to offer and how they defined a day trip.
You have to draw a line somewhere, right? Because there's a whole state, there's a whole world out there. But, you know, to fit into the day trips concept, we drew the line at 2 hours by car. So there were some great places that were just outside that range, and there's plenty of great places within that range that we didn't write about, but we had to kind of narrow it down.
So one of the things I thought was interesting is you chose a fair amount of cities and towns that are pretty small, but you also chose two cities that are really big that I think a lot of people would go to just in general, Chicago and Madison. So I'd like to start with Chicago. What are the kinds of things that you highlighted in Chicago that people wouldn't necessarily know about?
Yeah, for those bigger places, we kind of, you know, we chose a theme to kind of build your day around. So for Chicago, it was arts. So our culture editor, Lindsay Anderson, kind of built an itinerary and pulled it off with a whole bunch of things. You know, this is the one where we didn't take a car. We took, you know, the train down there. And she just walked through a day with a whole bunch of different art, you know, exhibits and galleries. And even some of the in-between things were kind of arts inspired.
So when we're talking about arts inspired things in Chicago, what are some of the things that you highlighted?
One of the things that I thought was interesting was this Comfort Station, which is this cultural center that has something different every month. So obviously we couldn't, you know, say specifically what it is, but it sounded like a really cool spot.
So when we're looking at Madison, what is the kind of theme that we're working around?
Madison had a foodie theme. So our dining critic, Ann Christensen, stepped outside of Milwaukee and went out to Madison and kind of did the same thing, you know, building an itinerary around, in this case, eating and drinking, which you can only do so much of, obviously, during a day, but there's a lot of different kind of ways to experience the foodie thing. You know, she started with the world famous, I guess, farmer's market on Capitol Square, which is kind of a rite of passage for any trip to Madison. And then there's stops at restaurants. There's a great cheese shop called For Imagination down on the Capitol Square and lots of other kind of, you know, not necessarily sitting down and having a meal, but, you know, ways to kind of indulge that foodie thing.
So when we're looking at some of the other towns, it seems like a lot of the things that you highlighted were different types of museums. Now, one of the first towns that you head out to is Baraboo. And of course, I think Baraboo and I think the circus. Mm-hmm. But you also highlight a number of other things inside of Baraboo. If you are someone who's unfamiliar with the area, what should you go to see?
Well, we kind of made a theme out of that area, too, and kind of built it around Baraboo and Devil's Lake. Devil's Lake, I believe it's the most visited state park in the state. And if you haven't been out there, it's really remarkable. It's got these soaring bluffs around this lake with tons of interesting like geological history, and which we didn't really get into a whole lot in the story. But there's a lot going on there, some great hiking trails through these almost surreal type of environments. And there's also a couple other state natural areas and these little enclaves in the area that are something to behold, too. There's just outside of the state park is this state natural area called Parfrees Glen, and it's a pretty easy hike, you know, in and out. There's also some great biking in the area with some state trails and just kind of a lot of natural beauty. Aldo Leopold's cottage is not far from there, too.
I think not too far away in that same general area, you also head to New Glarus, mm-hmm. Which a lot of people are going to know New Glarus because of the brewery, which makes Spotted Cow. But there's also some other stuff that goes along with the city. And you kind of tied that into another small town just outside of Madison, Mount Horeb.
Right. All these places are west of Madison. Mount Horeb and New Glarus are down south. Baraboo is up northwest of Madison. So, yeah, and New Glarus is a really cool town. I mean, its heritage is Swiss, and that is the identity. There's actually an ordinance that any new commercial construction has to have some kind of Swiss, I always think of it as kind of a chalet-type architecture, but it has to have some components to that. So even, like, the new gas station has kind of this Swiss look to it. And that was actually a tourism focus that came out of the community after a lot of the cheese factories, which had kind of been the lifeblood of the economy there, were closing down. This is around mid-century, I believe. So they kind of bootstrapped up the Swiss identity, which is authentic and real, but played it up and built this really quaint downtown with lots of shops and restaurants. And then around the 90s, this craft brewery, which was, I think they called them microbreweries back then, started up and started drawing some people to the village. And obviously that is the big thing in New Glarus now. And the brewery is just beautiful. The technical aspects of it are really astounding, but it's got this great beer garden that just feels like a slice of the old world. It's pretty remarkable. And the beer is pretty awesome, too.
So Mount Horeb, also a European feel, but not Swiss. It's Norwegian.
Right, yeah. And they've kind of been getting away from what their thing had been for a long time, when that's the trolls. There's wood carvings of trolls throughout the little downtown. But it's really taken on a life of its own, you know, with its own kind of identity. More recently, there's been a lot of businesses opening, shops and restaurants. There's the headquarters of Duluth Trading Company located right downtown. So there's some actual hustle and bustle on its own merits, not just from visitors. So and just like cool little things like a soda pop shop, you know, where you can go in and buy up to like, I think they have like 400 different varieties of soda, which is kind of like a brewery, but without the alcohol, for kids, for everybody.
So Mount Horeb is really close to Madison, it seems like. And you chose a couple places that are really close to Milwaukee as well. Places that are so close, they almost seem like suburbs, but not quite. Specifically, I'm thinking of East Troy, which used to be reachable by the streetcar and has a kind of monument to that.
Right. Back in the day, and I don't recall the exact timing of this, but it was way more recent than you would think. They had this interurban railroads from Milwaukee out to, I believe, Sheboygan. There was one that went straight west, and then there was this one that went southwest to East Troy. Now in East Troy, there's a railroad museum that pays tribute to this fully electric system, which was one of the things that made it very unusual. And they have a train that actually runs and makes various stops throughout town and in the immediate area. So you can kind of experience that and kind of build your own little day by hopping on and hopping off when the train comes back.
And going around town.
Yeah, right.
And Fort Atkinson, which isn't too far from East Troy, they have their own shrine, which I think is uniquely Wisconsin, the National Dairy Shrine. What is that?
Yeah, that's an offshoot of the Horde Historical Museum, which is kind of like the local history museum. I talked to our writer who went out there for this one, and he was like, this is really cool. I mean, it's a museum of dairy history in some regards, but even like things like this dairy library where they have like milking records from different farms back to the 1920s. And, you know, you can kind of see the history come alive in kind of interesting ways, I guess.
You mentioned Green Bay, and everyone's going to think Green Bay and Green Bay Packers, but you also highlight a number of things that have nothing to do with the Packers. What can people experience in Green Bay outside of football?
Sure. I mean, there's plenty else to do in Green Bay. I'm actually from Green Bay, so this was kind of a passion project a little bit, but some of these things are things that are new since I've been away from that area. And one of them, it's called the Automobile Gallery. This is right downtown. It's basically treating classic cars and automobiles as art. So it's like this elevated fine art museum, but the canvases are on chassis instead of in ink or paint. So, I mean, I'm not really a gearhead, but I could tell, like, these are some big-time cars. And, you know, the beautiful paint jobs and the gleaming chrome, it definitely works. And right downtown, there's also, you know, there's a river walk in Green Bay along the Fox River. And they've built up kind of a extension of that called the City Deck right in central downtown, which has a lot of programming and things to do, you know, throughout the year. So, yeah, there's definitely more to see in Green Bay than just football.
Well, and as someone who isn't as familiar with the area, I guess I didn't realize that Manitowoc was that close to Green Bay.
Yeah, this one was a little bit further afield than some of the other pairings that we had, but it's kind of on the way, I guess. So, you know, we kind of included it. It's about maybe about a half hour apart from the two downtowns. And the kind of the theme of that portion of the trip was the lake. And I mean, obviously, we're on the same lake right here in Milwaukee, but there's something about it in a smaller town where it just feels bigger and it feels like more a part of the kind of experience there. And obviously, there's a lot of things in Manitowoc that are kind of geared toward, you know, the lake. It's the western terminus of the Badger Ferry, and you can see that departing a couple times a day. And there's the Wisconsin Maritime Museum, which has all kinds of really cool exhibits on shipbuilding and kind of the craft of sailing. But the big thing there is the USS Cobia, which is a World War II era submarine that saw some action. And you can go inside and kind of feel that cramped, really tight quarters of what it would have. I can't imagine what it would have been like to be down there for, you know, weeks and weeks on end. And I can't let Manitowoc go by without mentioning my favorite piece of the whole experience for myself, and that was the Hamilton Woodtype Museum, which is, it sounds like something that's not, like, it sounds really boring, but it's this kind of intersection of printing and woodworking and design, and it's a living museum where they have this huge collection of wooden type, like these are the typefaces that would have been used to make headlines in newspapers or larger prints for decades and decades. This is the premier technology. And the biggest manufacturer in North America of these wood types was in Two Rivers, which is just the next town north of Manitowoc. So it's really extraordinary. And anybody who's interested in woodworking or, you know, art and design is probably going to want to check this out if they're in the area.
Yeah. Well, Chris Drosner, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Great. Thanks, Joy.
Chris Drosner is the executive editor for Milwaukee Magazine. He spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers. You can find more of our conversations with Milwaukee Magazine at wuwm.com.